So today we'll be continuing on the series of the book of Acts. And we'll be looking at Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 40, a well-known passage. But before we read that, it's a quick recap of what's happened between verse 1 and 16 so far. So Paul is on his second missionary journey with Silas, Timothy and Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. And they just came to Philippi, which is east of Macedonia. Philippi was a Roman colony where a lot of retired Roman soldiers lived. And they were there for about 7 days and met with Lydia, who was a successful businesswoman who became a believer of the gospel. And she invited them to stay at her house. So everything was going well so far. So if you have your church Bibles, turn to page 112, and it's the book of Acts 16, verse 16 to 40. I'll give you a minute to find it. It's a bit of a long reading. So it's page 1112, 1112. I've got to bend down here because it's a small print. Once we were going to a place of prayer when we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit had left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they were severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Once, upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the orders, "Release these men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without trial, even thought we are Roman citizens, and throw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that, Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, and they were alarmed. Then they came to appease them and escort them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house when they met with their brothers and encouraged them, and then they left. So I'm going to break this down into three parts. So first, we'll be looking at Acts verse 16 to 24. So as Paul and his companions were going to prayer, when all of a sudden they were approached by a slave girl, it was possessed by a demon. She was a fortune teller who made a lot of money for her masters. She followed them for many, many days, shouting out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." So I think it's a bit strange, really, when you think about it, that an evil spirit is shouting out that Jesus is the way. I had to think about this. Why is this going on like? But she was telling the truth. But it says in James 2, verse 19, even the demons believe that and shudder. Even they know the truth. But after a few days, Paul's had enough. He's trying to preach God's word and spread the gospel, and he's being harassed by this girl. So he turns around and publicly casts out this demon in Jesus' name. It says in Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus said, "In my name they would drive out demons." And she was set free. Her chains was broken. No longer was she able to do fortune telling. And she was set free from the evil spirit. So why didn't Paul do this sooner? Like on the first day or second or third? Paul knew that when he'd done this, there would be trouble. That's the only one likely reason he never done it any sooner. I like to picture what it would have been like if I was there and I was with Paul, knowing the consequences of what was going to happen. I'd be thinking, please don't do this. Look how many men's around her. Look how much trouble we're going to get in by doing this, or, you know, we're going to get beaten up. But the people would have saw the power of God and they would have been amazed. But her masters would have not looked at it that way, because they have just lost their money-making machine. So straight away, Paul and Silas were seized and dragged into the magistrates for justice for them. So the slave girl's masters, hiding the truth, as they wanted revenge because of the loss of money, they lied to the magistrates. They probably couldn't tell the truth because the public probably had sympathy with the slave girl, and they were amazed that they were all witnessed a miracle. So they made out that they were Jews and was causing trouble, throwing the city into uproar, preaching against Roman and the Roman ways. This got the crowd on board as well. Because they kicked up such a fuss, there was no proper trial or inquiry. So Paul and Silas were stripped, severely beaten, with rods, and were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them into an inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. So what is an inner cell? An inner cell was like a dungeon with no light or very little air. The only light they would get is when the doors would be open. I've recently just come back on holiday off on a cruise, because it was me and Natalie's 20th year anniversary, and we had an inner room. So we couldn't afford an outer room with a window or a stateroom, so it was an inner room. And as I was preparing some of this message, I just thought this must have been like an inner room, because when you turn, if anyone's been on a cruise, when you turn off the light on inner cruise, it is pitch black dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face. It is that dark. I mean, I couldn't even find the light to turn the light off when I had to go to the toilet in the middle of the night. I just couldn't see it at all. And Paul would have been in this room, and he would have been suffering from flogging as well along his back with rods, as well as having their feet fastened in stocks. So I thought, what is stocks? I thought it was when he was in the cell, it'd be like the chains, like in the cartoons, just up to the wharf, but it's stocks, but it wasn't like that. So I had to Google it. So I thought to myself, maybe some of you don't know what the stocks are as well. So I thought I'd make some. Now, I've got to get a volunteer. And there's no point in putting your hands up, because Paul's coming up, because he's got me so many times over the years up here to do things. It's about time he, you know, it's not revenge. We don't believe in revenge. We believe in a favour, returning a favour. So come up for a minute. Now, stocks would have been a bit smaller, but this is what you get for like £10 and a chainsaw. sit yourself down. We'll pretend these are the chains. So put your feet through. This might not hurt. No. That wasn't rehearsed. As well as having his feet in stock and being pitch black dark, couldn't see anything, right? And they couldn't even walk, because they couldn't even walk to ease their cramps.
I want to go to the toilet, John.
Well, you have to wait. Just go where you are, mate. It's fine. Right, so, yeah, it was pitch black. You put me off now. No, it's pitch black. It was pitch black dark. It'd be severe flogged all down the back, so he had welts all up and down his back. So he'd be severely flogged, be bound up, and it'd be pitch black dark. Now, if I was Silas in this prison next to him, I'd be thinking, it's just as well it's dark in here, because I've not got to look at your face. And say, why, if you didn't lose your temper, Paul, we wouldn't be stuck in here. But like Vic preached a few weeks ago, it's not fair. But God had a bigger plan. So let's give Paul a round of applause. Couldn't take that over there. So brothers and sisters, sometimes we can be in a dark place with our backs against the wall, in chains, bound up, looking like there's no way out, trying to go two steps this way or two steps that way and going no further forward. So what did Paul and Silas started doing while they was going through all this? In verse 25, it said they started to pray and sing songs to God and to encourage one another. But I wonder what the other prisoners would be thinking at this time. It's midnight and there's singing going on. I wonder what effect this had on the prisoners. They probably never heard men singing in prison before. And how can someone be beat, locked up and in stocks in the dark and be singing, praising God? I remember 2 years ago, I was going for a bit of a rough time. Not as bad as Paul's, but still, it was just something to share. And it was a bank holiday Monday, and me and Natalie got up early, about 7 o'clock, just to go to the boot sale, because I take her to the best of places. And I got up, and the van was gone. It was gone, completely gone. I said to Natalie, "Where's the van?" She said, "Have you packed it somewhere else?" I said, "Well, I've packed it there for like 7, 8 years. Where would it go?" And it was gone. And inside it was all the tools, my work diary, and the Bible that Natalie gave me when we was courting, well, before we was courting actually. And it was just all gone. And I was just so sick. I was in a bad place. I was just depressed. I used to put myself to bed early just to get through the day. And this was on the Monday, and on the Tuesday I went to work, and I took the car to work, and I stopped off at the tool hire shop in Shepparton to buy a chainsaw. And I saw Jeff Gilbert there in his car, and he went, "Oh, hello, James." I said, "Hello." I said, "See, I've heard what's happened to your van. It's bad. It's you know," and he was being comforting. And I said, yeah, but I just didn't really want to know, if I'm being totally honest. I just wasn't interested. But he said, "We've been praying for you. We've been praying for you that you get your diary back. And we're praying that you get your Bible back. And God's got it in hand, mate. You know, everything's going to be fine." And I'm going, "Okay, all right, okay." So on Wednesday, I went to work again, took the car, and I had a phone call. And it was round about 12, 1 o'clock, round about that time. And I got, and the lady said, "Are you Mr. AJ Barr?" I said, "Oh, yes." "Have you been fly tipping?" I thought, well, this is all I need. Yeah, it's getting worse. I've been accused of fly tipping now. And I said, "Well, where do you live?" She went, "I live in Pinner, which is like near Watford Way, which is like 15, 20 miles away." And I thought to myself, well, no, I don't go nowhere near there, I said to the lady. She went, "No, well, I found this invoice in your diary." Straight away, I started to cry. I won't lie to you, I started to cry and well up. And even now, I'm just thinking about it. And she went, "Yeah, well, I found it. It was in the back of a little estate. It's in the bin and everything." So I said, she said, "I'm going to ring the police." I said, "No, don't ring the police. I'll be there straight away." So I got in the van. I scooted all the way over, got there, and there was a bin. I've still got the photos on my phone. And there was a bin. And as I went to the bin, there was the diary, and there was my Bible on top. Yeah, straight away, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm so sorry that I doubted you." This is not, you know, like what Paul went through. This is just something that I can relate what's happened to me personally. But do you know we can use our testimonies of suffering to encourage others in faith and to spread the gospel of what Jesus has done in our lives? I share this testimony a lot at work, and it's a very, very good opening with people. And I promise you, it always brings a smile to the people's face, especially when I get to the end. It's a great way of planting seeds, and people start asking questions afterwards. "Oh, yeah, what church are you from? Blah, 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 blah." So, back to the scripture. So in verse 26, suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. In verse 27, it says, "The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prisoner doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourselves, we are all here.'" So I'll just tell you a little bit of history of what a Roman soldier is, a bit of background. So back in the days of the Roman Empire, Roman soldiers were trained in duty and discipline and to obey orders with no emotion. They did what they were told and they did it well. So a Roman soldier guarding a prisoner was expected to do their job well. If a prisoner escaped, the jailer had failed his job, and he would suffer the same fate as the prisoner he looked after. So if someone was getting his hand chopped off and he escaped, the jailer would get his hand chopped off. So probably being a lot of prisoners in the prison, he probably thought it'd be quicker and less painful just to end it there and then. But why did the prisoners not escape? If I was a prisoner in them days and the doors came open, I'd be out there like a rocket. Even if I'm overweight, I'd be like Usain Bolt. I'd be boom, gone, out the doors. I'd be running like my life depended on it. And it probably would have done in them days. But they'd probably never heard the power of God and the gospel, and never heard of anyone being beaten and suffering and then singing praises to God and then being released. They must have knew the power of God, so they stayed. In verse 29, the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and he felt trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And in verse 31, it says, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all your household." In verse 32, it says, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all others in his house. So Paul and Silas started to tell the gospel of Jesus and what he went through on the cross and other miracles. And many were saved. It's really that simple, brothers and sisters. It's just believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and you too will be saved. There's a well-known scripture, John 3, verse 16, and it's, everyone knows it, but no one ever reads 17, well, they don't read as much 17 and 18. So, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, his one and only Son." Four times it says in that scripture, belief. People come to believe in different ways. Some get it straight away, instantly. Some come broken. Some it takes a long, long time to believe. So what does the word believe mean? In English dictionary, it means to accept, to hold, to trust. Myself, I heard the gospel many times growing up, coming from a church, being in church from about 11. But it was only at one meeting when I was 18, I finally just got it. It really pierced. I finally understood Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I was a sinner. And I realized Jesus loved me and you so much, he died for all our sins. I just got up straight away, went to the front with many others, just like the jailer's family did, who came to believe. Do we keep on sinning? Yes, we do. Let's be real people, we do. And as a Christian, and being British, we don't like the word sinner. It offends us. We prefer other nice little phrases like, "It's what I do when I'm tired," or "It's not my fault what happens when I'm tired," or this is one of my favourite ones, "My little weakness." We've all got my little weaknesses, but Jesus did not die for what I do when I'm tired, or my little weakness. He died for all our sins on the cross. But through his grace, he keeps on forgiving us. This not just gives us a free license to continue to sin, but when we do slip up, and we always do, if we ask, we would be forgiven through his grace and faith. Amen. So, I'll just conclude the story off with from verse 33 to 40. "At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his household. It was daylight. The magistrate sent the officers to the jailer when the orders was to release these men. The jailer told Paul, 'The magistrates have ordered for you to be Silas to be released. Now you can leave in peace.' But Paul said to the officers, 'They beat us publicly without trial. Even thought we are Roman citizens and they've thrown us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out.' The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, that they were alarmed, they came to appease them, escorting them from the prison, and request them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them before they left. You see, Paul knew that if he just left without a fuss, all the Christians left behind in Philippi, they would have been persecuted. So he insisted on the magistrates came to him. And because he was a Roman citizen and they had them beat, and it was a crime in them days to beat a Roman citizen, they feared the worst. What happened to him could happen to them. So why did Paul do this? It was so the gospel could continue to be preached in Philippi. Because if Paul had let them get away with it, and you bet they would continue to do this to the people who became Christians in the city. The church in Philippi, the church in Philippi could grow, and it did. Because later in the Bible, we can see with letters that Paul sent to the church in the book of Philippians, that they went to the house. So then they went to the house to Lydia to share the testimony of what God had done, and to encourage them of what they've been through, and tell them how many were saved. But let's just take that in for a minute. After all they've been through, Paul and Silas in the prison, beaten, locked up in stocks, in the dark, they continue to encourage. And that's what we should do, brothers and sisters. Encourage one another. And as we can all grow in the Lord and become stronger in God, going forward, whether it's preaching the gospel, or for suffering, or for testimony, or for even packing away chairs, making tea, coffee, let's always encourage one another, because that's what the Lord wants to do for us. God bless.